You're listening to Subsound Radio. We bring you streaming and live broadcasting from the capital. This is the El Arpa Podcast. This is an important news bulletin from the Apple Podcast. We are the best podcast in the world. Maria, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. You?
I am good. So welcome back to the latest episode of this fantastic, splendiferous, wonderful podcast. And the topic of today's discussion will be a little book review that our Maria shall be giving us in the second part of the show. So any other business to attend to before we dive straight into it?
No, that I can't remember.
You're going to the London in 2 weeks, is that true?
Yes, it is.
Business,
yes.
Or pleasure?
Pleasure, if you want to call it that, yes.
Okay,
I want to see my brother run the London Marathon.
Okay, will you be there with Jaffa Cakes and Sponge?
Yeah, I should start, yes.
Okay, yes. Okay, sounds good. Are you flying into Stansted, Heathrow?
I'm flying into Stansted, I believe.
That is a
problem. Oh, Luton, one of the two.
Okay, well, Luton. Okay.
One of those, I don't know, whatever is the cheapest. Where does Ryanair fly?
Flies everywhere.
Yeah, so.
Okay, right. Okay, very good. Are you going to bring back a novelty-sized Toblerone to the El Arpa office?
I will, of course. Yes.
Fantastic. Well, with that delicious mouth-watering news, that's the end of part one. Welcome back to part two, the part that inevitably follows part one. So, the book you've been reading over the last 6 months to 4 years.
It wasn't that bad. It just took me a while because I'm working very hard all the time.
Okay. I'm glad you didn't say it because it's not your first language, because you are a teacher in a school.
Yeah, that would have been a lazy excuse.
Well, I mean, for a teacher, it would have been disgraceful.
Exactly.
To peddle that. But, okay, so what's the name of the book and who is the author?
The author is Orhan Pamuk, and the name of the book is Strangeness in My Mind.
Strange in My Mind. Okay, so he's Turkish.
He is, yes.
He is, yes, of course. Well, Pamuk is someone who we both agree is a fantastic writer. We both read most of his books, I think, between us, no?
Yes, I would say so.
I haven't had the privilege of reading his latest, even though you've given me a free copy by PDF.
We won't go into that.
But can you give me a snapshot of the story so I don't have to read it? And
Well, first of all, I think it would be a mistake not to read it.
Okay.
But yes, I'll give you a snapshot. I mean, the book just follows a Boza seller. Boza is like a traditional drink in Turkey, which, by the way, later on we can talk about where the word comes from, which is quite interesting as language teachers. And it just follows his life from the moment that he leaves the village where he used to live, to just all the he's moving to Istanbul, to the capital, and all the things that happened in his life during that time until he's elderly, but really it's a culture where, you know, elderly is considered maybe around 60 or so.
Is it set in the past, or is it just it's a culture that now considers old age to be difference to what we might consider it?
Well, it's just that traditionally they get married and form a family a lot earlier than us. Therefore, they sort of like become elderly for society about 20 years earlier than us.
Okay.
You know, traditionally.
Do they die sooner than us?
Things are changing. I don't think so.
Okay, so they have an extended elderly phase of their life. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's part travelogue, part history of the city or the country.
Well, I think, you know, through his life, we just sort of witness all the political events in Turkey, and particularly in Istanbul, from the 50s until now. The book actually ends in 2014.
Okay, so it ends quite recently.
Yes.
Okay, and the protagonist, what's his name? Yeah, okay, we go back to that. Obviously he's used by Pamuk as a narrative device to advance
his
story.
Mevlut, yes.
Mevlut, okay. Yes. Mevlut the poster seller.
Exactly, that's what he's called.
Quite nice, okay. Well, he's the conduit through which the writer tells the story of the country and the social changes. Is he something of a blank canvas, or does he offer opinions on the different changes that are happening around him?
Well, as always, Pamuk uses a very interesting technique. We saw that kind of like more or less in My Name is Red, one of his most famous books, where basically different characters speak and tell part of the story. And in this case in particular, all the characters that are involved in his life speak for themselves, but he's the only one that doesn't tell his own story. The narrator, the author, tells the story for him in the third person.
So is he... like, for example, if it was a movie, would he have the most screen time? Does he have the most pages devoted to him? Or
I mean, the book is definitely about him and his life.
Okay.
And even if we get to know a lot about other people, it always sort of like revolves around his life and his life events.
So, as a reader, do you sympathize more with him, considering the narrator is telling his story, or do you identify more with the characters or speaking directly to the reader? How do you feel, how's your relationship with those different characters?
Well, I think it's interesting because somehow when you're reading people talking in the first person, you get this impression that they're more biased or selfish in a way, while the fact that the main character is spoken about in the third person sort of helps you empathize with him. And even like the author sometimes makes comments within the narration about Mevlut's personal traits and his personality and even his faults.
So the first person characters, are there more justifications or excuses compared to the Bota seller, in the sense that if something happens to him, we hear from the voice of the narrator, and it's more of a description, and you feel more sorry for him because there's not any excuse offered up for, this happened to me, and there's self pity involved and everything like that. Is that kind of dynamic going on in the book?
Yeah, I think part of it is that, and then the other part is that the other characters, they tell you their real thoughts. So obviously, when you think about other people, sometimes they are very nice things, but all the times, if we were to listen to people's real thoughts, even about people that, we love or our family, there would still be things that are more uncomfortable to hear because they disagree with us or they think we're at fault somehow.
Okay. And so there's a big scope to the story. But obviously we focus in as well on personal details about him and his personal circumstances. So what is the micro story? What is the story involving him and what happens to him?
I'm kind of reluctant to say that because, it happens very early in the book, but it influences the entire book.
Like some kind of tragedy or loss or...
I wouldn't say it's a tragedy, but it's kind of like a, let's say, a misunderstanding.
romantic misunderstanding?
It could be. Yeah,
very
most likely.
Cagey.
Yeah.
Very cagey, okay.
One of the worst misunderstandings that come in.
Well, he thinks the girl he loves is having it off with somebody else or something.
Well, I'm not going to give any more details. You have to read it. But all I'm going to say is that it's something that surprisingly, you know, kind of like chases him for the entire story. And actually has a big influence in his life. And I think it's something that, I think it's a reflection on the part of Pamuk. I think it's a theme in his books about how things that seem, you know, random have a very strong influence in the events of a person's life.
And his decision to narrate his part of the story maybe reinforces the fact that he's a simple character at the mercy of the fates, and he's not really in charge of his own destiny compared to perhaps other characters in the story.
I think that's right, but yeah. Also the character, the main character, has a lot of the author. I mean, there are a lot of themes that we know through the books that he constantly repeats. So I think there's a lot of Pamuk in Mevlut.
Okay. Do you find that repeats through different parts of his novels, other novels, that he works his way into the character?
Definitely, yes. Well, I mean, for example, in Istanbul is basically an autobiography.
Of course, yes.
So, but even if he's not the main character, there's still a lot of, you know, things like, for example, the city, how the city is almost like a person, and, you know, his passion for Istanbul. And the troubles of like growing up, especially like being a teenager and a male teenager in particular, things like that. I think it just things that runs through all these books.
A male teenager.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you've read it, you should know.
I have, but I want to hear you explain it.
Well, no, just, you know, things to do with like identity and just sort of establishing your own personality and relation with the world.
Girls.
Well, no, I said with the world. No, I don't think, I think it would be simplistic to say it's just with girls, you know.
Okay. Fair enough, okay. Well, you mentioned as well the bosa is a special word.
Yes. Well, bosa is this drink that is made from you know, chickpeas, and it's got a little bit of alcohol, but it's got a lengthy preparation, and originally it was like to warm yourself up during the winter. But well, the author actually doesn't mention this until later in the book, but he does say that he believes the word comes from the English word "boob."
Okay.
And that's why you know, it's got links with actually having some alcohol in it.
Right. Okay, so anything else about the book?
Anything else about the book? Read the book. I mean, it's quite lengthy and I'm
Can
not...
you get off the fence and tell us what you really think?
What I really think? I thought it was fantastic. I absolutely loved it.
No, you're really holding back there. Can we just get an honest opinion about the book?
Okay, well, my honest opinion is that it definitely deserves, you know, being read.
Just tell us what you really think about the book.
I love it.
Okay.
I can't love it anymore.
That will do. Okay. That'll have to do. Okay.
Is that enthusiastic enough?
Yeah, fine. Okay, so we will be back, of course, for part 3, which inevitably follows part 2. Part 3 of the show, so that was a wonderful explanation and in review of Pembroke's latest book. So you mentioned first and third person using the book. Have you ever read a book that's been written in the second person?
No, I don't think so.
There's not that many out there, but there's a book that was written last year about Raoul Moat, the guy who went on a rampage in Newcastle like 2 or 3 years ago, 4 years ago. That's completely written in the second person.
All right. Okay.
It's an interesting device. That's all I wanted to say.
Yeah. That's remember the new one. Okay. And so how do you manage to write a really long book in the second person?
Because it goes through his clinical records from his discussion with psychologists and other data he's picked up, and it's like, you did this because you felt like this and everything. So it's a very, it's a book that's kind of maybe half accusatory and half maybe empathic.
It's like a rap.
No, it's definitely not like a rap. So this, yeah, it's silly. Nope, not a rap. Okay, so yeah, read it if you want, and we can talk about it in another podcast. Okay, so well, that's it for us today. You can tell the podcast is ending because I'm speaking a little bit more slowly than the other parts of the podcast. So it's Anna saying bye bye,
and Maria saying bye.
You're listening to Subsound Radio. We bring you streaming and live broadcasting from the capital. This is the Alarpa Podcast.